Once I was clothed in the rags of my sin, wretched and poor, lost, lonely within. But this one day, compassion, the King of all things, in pity and love, He touched me under His wing. Oh, yes, you can help me. Oh, yes. I'm a child of the King. His royal blood now flows through my veins. And I, who was wretched and poor, now can sing. Praise God, praise God. I'm a child of the King. Now I am a child of His heavenly home, for my Holy Father, He made me His own. I've been bought by His blood, and I've been clothed with His love. And someday I'll sing with the angels above. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I'm a child of the King. His royal blood now flows through my veins. And I, who was wretched and poor, now can sing. Praise God, praise God. I'm a child of the King. They tell me that one day there was an old man wandered along the highway, hard, worried, and hungry. As he traveled along, he came to a wealthy farmer's home and stopped and knocked at the door. The farmer answered the call, looking out on the old man. The old man looking up at him, saying, "Sir, I'm tired, worried, and hungry. I wonder if you have a place you'd let me sleep and some food you'd give me to eat. And, sir, I don't want you to feel like I'm begging you for it. If you got some work to do, I'm willing to do the work for it." And as he talked, compassion struck the farmer's heart. And he said, "Yes, sir, I've got a ditch to be dug, going from my barn into the meadow. If you'll dig that ditch for me, I'll give you food to eat and a place to sleep. And when you get ready to travel on your way, I'll give you some money to travel on." The old man looked up at him and said, "Thank you, sir." And he took the job. A few days later, with his pick and shovel, he was down in the ditch working. The farmer's little boy happened by that way. And when he come near the ditch, he heard the old man saying something. He come just a little closer, and he stopped and listened. And as he listened, he heard the old man saying something like this: "Oh, yeah, oh, yeah, I'm a child of the King. His royal blood now flows through my veins. And I, who was wretched and poor, now could sing. Praise God, praise God. I'm a child of the King." The little boy, he hollered, "Hey, mister, I can't understand how you're a child of the King. You told my dad the other day you was a poor man, and you didn't have a thing. You don't look like a child of a King to me. Most children of kings how the best bed to sleep on, the finest food to eat, and the best clothes to wear. You don't have neither one of them. Your beard's long, your clothes is torn and worn, your hair's grown out. You look more like a bum to me, sir, than you do a child of the king. And about that time, the old man raised up from the dead. He looked at the little boy and he said, son, he said, I'm a child of a real king. Said, my father, he's rich and he owns everything. Son, will you look down yonder in the valley? Do you see those lilies growing? My father makes the lilies of the valley and locking himself onto them. And look yonder, boy, at the pasture field. Do you see those pretty cattle? My father made them cattle and owns them, and owns the cattle of 1,000 hills. And look at that pretty lake of water. My father owns it, and holds all the water in the palm of his hand. And listen, boy, do you hear the little birds singing? My father made the little sparrows, and he feeds them and knows where they fall. And look beyond the boy. Do you see the big sun ball? My father made it and hung it out of nothing. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I'm a child of a real king. And about that time, the little boy broke, and he run for home. He run up to his daddy, and he said, Daddy, you don't have no need of that old man down yonder. He told you wrong and me one. He told me that he was a rich man. His father was a king and owned everything. He told you he was poor. And he said that his father owned your cattle and the cattle of 1,000 hills and all the water in your lake and held all the waters in the palms of his hands. Owned the cattle of 1,000 hills, the lily in the valley, and locking himself onto it. Take the little sparrows and feed them and knows where they fall. I can't understand it. And about that time, the farmer man Redchild pulled the little boy up to him and said, son, the old man knows what he's talking about. He was telling you about God Almighty and Jesus Christ, his son. And about that time, I got happy. And I got to thinking about a hillbilly boy with a coal mining daddy and a washboard mama. And this old boy had wandered out in the low depths of sin. But one day, when he felt he'd gone the forest and had no friend, had nobody to help him, nobody to rescue him, nobody could do him any good. That lonely Nazarene, the King of Kings, come along. And he reached down with his nail-sharp hands and got a hold of my feeble hand and pulled me up out of my grave of sin and set my feet on a solid rock and established my goings in him. And ever since that day, I've been a child of the king. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I'm a child of the king. And Jesus tonight loves you. He'll be your savior tonight and your king tomorrow if you give him a heart. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I'm a child of a real king. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I'm a child. His royal blood now flows through my veins, and I, who was wretched and poor, now can sing. Praise God, praise God. I'm a child of the King. Praise God, praise God. I'm a child. Are you a child of the King? Say it again. Praise God, praise God.
of my time. Are you happy about it? Praise God! Praise God! I'm the child of the King. Now I am the child of the heavenly home. For my holy Father, He made me His own. I've been bought by His blood, and I've been clothed with His love. And someday I'll sing with the angels above. Oh yeah, I'm a child of the King. His royal blood now flows through my veins, and I, who was wretched and poor, now can sing. Praise God, praise God, I'm a child of the King.
If you have your Bible, you may turn to the 33rd chapter of Ezekiel, and we'll begin about the 7th verse. And said, so thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman under the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the words at my mouth, and warn them for me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if thou doest not speak to warn the wicked from his ways, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity. But his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity. But thou hast delivered thy soul. Therefore, O thou son of man, speak unto the house of Israel. Thus you speak, saying, if our transgressions and our sins be upon us, and we pine away in them, how should we then live? Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? I know the Lord here was speaking direct to Israel, but tonight the Lord has laid it upon my heart to use this scripture, and I didn't know the Holy Ghost was going to give a message and interpretation come that they was somebody that was more choosing sin and the ways of wickedness, and maybe hiding them and cherishing them more than the ways of God. I didn't know what the Spirit was going to speak anyway that way. But tonight, the Spirit and the Word agree. The Spirit and the Word agree. And I'm going to preach tonight on a little thought. If you will pray for me, and God will help me, on God's blockade on the road to hell. God's blockade on the road to hell. I feel tonight that we are living right down in the very closing out of this age. And a day is just about spent. And the evening time is on us. And it's going to night is going to fall upon a lot of men and women, boys and girls. And they're going to be still in their ways of sin. But one thing about it, the Word of God has already spoken. And the Word of God has said to come out from among the world and be a separated people, saith God. Cleanse yourself from all filthiness of the flesh and keep yourself unspotted from the world. The Word of God has already declared and said, it is said to touch not and taste not and handle not the unclean things that defile with the usurer man. God's Word has already declared that God's way is a wholeness way, and that it's a clean way, and not even a rebellious beast will go there upon, and no unclean thing is going to travel upon it. But tonight, above all, no matter how much sin is out there, and how much doubt, and how much the devil is raging, God's got a remedy for your sin. God's got a remedy for your sin. And tonight, we know that God has a blockade that will keep you from going to hell if you will stop at it. Of the time that we was reading and studying back down the road so many times, we can hear maybe a criminal, he's killed, he is stolen and robbed, and he is murdered, and he's done his crime. And some way the law has set up a blockade to try to catch that criminal. But a lot of times they escape and get around that blockade. But there's one thing about it. You'll never go over the blockade that God Almighty has fixed. You may trample the blood under your feet and trample the message of your pastor of the evangelist down. You may ignore of the Holy Ghost when it speaks. But my brother, God has a blockade for you. He'll stop you somewhere down the road. I don't know how it'll be. It probably won't be with cruisers and machine guns, but it might be with the cancer racking your body in pain. It might be a TB setting up in your body. I don't know what it might be. It may be blindness until you can't look up on your loved ones. I don't know. It might be to the place until you get to you can't hear of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And above all, God's trying to get your attention and stop you from going to hell. It's not God's will that any should perish, but it's His will that you would be saved. God, from the very beginning of time, He didn't want man lost in the delusion world. He searched for a righteous man to save the people. He found Noah, and they ignored him and went through the roadblock, and their souls screamed when the storms and the floods and the waters overflowed them. Yes, they tell me that God sent a warning and a roadblock to summon tomorrow. But they tell me that son-in-laws and daughters and friends and loved ones went right to it and trampled it down and told the old man of God he is foolish. They won't stop at God's roadblock. But neighbor, after a while, God began to let fire and brimstone rain down out of heaven. And that city will have brought atomic bomb and blow her off the face of the earth. God is getting tired of man's sins. God is looking upon your wickedness. God
God sees every sin that man does. And God will that you would be saved. God has hunted. God has hunted and hunted for a remedy. But one day, God, he began to hunt until he found what it took. They tell me that he had him to search the heavens and the knees. He searched the earth. They tell me that he was hunting for a remedy. Praise God. But after a while, John sat down and he weeped and he cried because he found no one worthy but to loosen the seals to the seven churches of Asia. But after all, if John wept, one of the elders from the altar come over and shook John and said, "Why are we so sad?" John said, "There's no one worthy but to open the seals." They tried the prophets. They tried with men like Daniel. They tried with prophets like Samuel. They tried Moses and the prophets. They tried Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and seen that God couldn't get the world saved through none of them. But now, he's the one to remedy that would last forever. Men had used the blood of pigeons, of doves, of heifers, sheep, and lambs, and bullocks, and goats, but God was tired. He was tired of that being their blockade. He was tired of that being their remedy for seeing the light just for a year. But one day they searched the heavens, found no one worthy. They searched beneath the heavens. They may have searched the stars. They may have already looked on the moon. Yes, sir. They tried every planet to see if there's anyone they could find the one worthy. They went over there and looked out the prophets, looked out the great patriarchs of God, but none of them was worthy. And then the angel went beneath the earth and went into the prison where the devil had through death had captured the saints of God. He may have come to David and said, "David, are you worthy?" David said, "No, I'm not worthy. I committed adultery and I had killing and murder done. I lied. I can't go. To loose the seals." He may have went over to Moses and said, "Moses, you've been the leader of God's people. Can you go?" Moses said, "No, I disobeyed God when he said, 'Speak back to the rock.' The second time I told it, it's still speaking, and God wasn't pleased with me. I can't go." The angel took his voice back and said, "God, we can't find the one. We searched everywhere. They forgot to look in the rose garden of heaven, where the rose of Zion was blooming. They forgot to look in the morning, where the bright and morning star was shining. They forgot to look out the under. Praise God for the captain of our salvation. John, raise your head and look. We found one. Who is it?" John dropped the tears from his eyes and looked, and he said, "I beheld one like the root and the offspring of David, of the bright and the morning star, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. I found him. He's worthy. Who's worthy? Who is it? It's the Son of God. It's Mary's baby. It's my Redeemer. It's the King of all kings. Who can deny it? Glory to God. How that God have the roadblock on the road to hell. Don't have to catch you a little dove no more. You don't have to get you a pigeon. You don't have to go out and get you a lamb or a sheep. You just use them for mutton anymore. Don't have to need them for a sacrifice. No, take out a heifer and make you some steak out of it. You don't have it for a sin offering anymore. What for? We found one. We found a roadblock that man can't get over. We found a roadblock that'll make the vilest sinner free. Hallelujah. We found one door. His sin be as scarlet, be made white like wool. Hallelujah. And though the black crimson be made white like snow. Hallelujah. One of the sisters got up in the church a week or so ago. The big snow had come and God had soaked the carpet across the earth. A big white carpet. And the sister got testifying, the tears got to rotting down her cheeks. She said, I got to look at that big snow out there and how pretty and white it was. Until I thought about God's word. Said, though your sins be that crimson that you made white as snow. Hallelujah. She said, I just know how white I am. Why? Because God's got a blockade on the road. If you're a harlot, God's got a blockade for you. If you're a whoremonger, God's got a blockade. If you're a drunkard, God's got a blockade. If you're a man that's low in the lips of sin, Lord, don't panic. A drunkard, a gambler, whatever it may be, God's got a blockade on the road to hell. That'll cause him to be saved. You don't have to join a church by signing your name on a church book. You stop at this blockade. Hallelujah. And you get added to the church daily such as be saved. Praise the Lord. You get picked up that way. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm preaching about God's blockade on the road to hell. God has never wanted mother's boy to go to hell. I'm so supposed to go a Thursday to Mount Vernon. Just while I'm preaching, I'll just tell you, I probably won't get back a Thursday night. And because I've got to go there and preach a funeral. A friend of mine that I went to the hospital bed, sat down beside of him. Brother Pace, the tears run down his cheeks. And he said, I don't know how to say this. I don't know what to do. I tried to point him every way I could, Sister Collins. But yesterday evening, that heart quit operating. No more heartbeat. No more blood pressure point. No more blood count. A friend that had been a friend to me, I couldn't get him to God. His wife told me, said he made confession. I hope he did. I hope he did. But if he did, he'd come awful close running over God's blockade on the road to hell. He'd get out of that hospital after just about died with heart attack and go home still not saying that I'm saved. Still not praying. But when I'd pray with them, the tears would run down and drop off on the pillow. There's been a many a mama, a many a daddy that went over God's blockade. Over God's blockade. And one stop. Tonight, he stands without strength. A
are you telling something like this for, Brother Ely? I don't know. I'm just preaching. Talking what God wants me to talk. See, I could try to keep it hid and keep it hid, but it finally leaked out. The word of the Lord said, behold, your sins will find you out. After that it happened, Cain cried out when he was being driven out from the face of God and the face of mankind. He cried out and he said, oh God, that this is more than I can bear. This is more. When you fall into the clutches of Satan, it's more than you can bear. Why does man that is sees at his right mind that they'll find them with the sides of their head blowed off by their own self? What made a woman that claimed to be one of the highest class women, one of the most beautiful women, her legs had won her prize across America in Hollywood. But she got old and there's a few wrinkles come in her face. She didn't get the praise that she one time had. She didn't get the glory from man and from people she one time did. And Marilyn Monroe said, I'll take an overdose and I'll end it. What caused it? Her sins was more than she could bear. She had come to the blockade. She had heard about Jesus. Jesus had spoke to her, and she had turned him away, and there's more than she could stand. When you come to God's blockade, and he tries to stop you, he's never said, I'll try to stop you again. He's never said, I'll reach my hand out to that young lady again. He's never said that I'll reach my hand out to that young dad. He said that it is the day of salvation. And if you hear my voice, harden not your heart. This is the time. This is a revival for you. This is a revival day in the Highway of Wholeness Pentecostal Church. Right on the edge of Hamilton, Ohio. This is a revival hour. And you're not here tonight because of some great show. You're here because God been with you and brought you here. You're not here just for the fun of it. You're here because God lives here. And tonight is the time that you're going to buckle up and draw up and run through God's blockade and turn the love of God away and the blood of Jesus Christ away. Are you going to come down to this altar and say, Lord, here I am. To what I am, I give it all to thee. God's blockade. They searched heaven and beneath, the earth and beneath, but after five, they found one. And he cried out in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he said, I come not to do my will, but I come to do thy will, O God. Then he cried out and said, not my will, Father, but thine be done. I'll be the blockade. Not an angel was found worthy as they searched the heavens. Not an angel. Nothing. All that would take and be a blockade was the Son of God. God's only begotten. Brother Ely, how was he a blockade? He was a man like you or I. He had feelings like you and me, but he was the Son of God. He never come into the world to go to the dances. He never come into the world to go to the races. He never come into the world to go to the ball games. Help me now, Jesus. He never come into the world to set up sin for lost men and women. But he come to tear down sin and to give men and women peace. God bless you. How did he do it, Brother Ely? Let's look. Let's see him becoming God's blockade. Starting one night as they sit with some bread and some wine. And he gave it to them and said, eat. This represents my body that'll be broken for you. Then he took the cup and said, drink, Brother Darty. This is my blood of the New Testament, Brother Bill, that I shed for you. Hallelujah. He said, one of you is going to betray me. And they looked around to one another and said, Lord, is it I? They didn't lay it on one another. They just said, Lord, is it I? Soon, the man that carried the treasure, the man that carried the little bag, slipped out from the group and left. Here was God's blockade starting to be built on the road to hell. In just a little while after Jesus had washed the feet, he'd taken Peter, James, and John, Sister Collins, and went to the garden. He hated to leave his disciples. He hated to stop doing miracles and signs and wonders before the people. He had loved to say, but it's come time for him to be God's blockade on the road to hell. And I hear him on the last time that he prayed, and his sweat became as great drops of blood. And he had said, Father, not my will, but thine be done. And then he arose and come where the boys were sleeping and said, sleep on, my time has come. My time for what? My time to be God's blockade on the road to hell. I've walked before you. I've healed the sick. I've cleansed the leprosy. I've raised the dead. I've cast out devils. I've stopped the winds from blowing. I've stopped the balances of the sea. I've fed hungry mouths. I've stopped deaf ears and opened blind eyes. I've done the will of my Father. But it's come my time now to die for the sins of the world. Who are you preaching about? I'm not preaching about Brother A.L.L. Collins. I'm not preaching about Brother Grover Hensley that went across the country and preached till his hair is becoming white. I'm not talking about Brother Hughes that preaches and works. I'm not talking about Brother Claude Ely that's been across the country slept in other people's beds, eat other people's food, played with other people's children, and wished at home playing with my own. No, I'm not talking about Claude Ely, but I'm talking about Murray's baby, God's only begotten son, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who come into the world to not condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Jesus. He didn't want you to plunge onto his side. Just as he went by the disciples, he heard the roar of a murdering mob coming up that dusty trail. And he went out to meet it. When they got up where it was at, he said, why do you come for me with swords? Why do you come for me with clubs and spades? I've never hurt one of you. I've done you well. I've done good to you. I've been your friend. But then he cried out. And he said, no greater love has a man than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. I'll not stop here, Father. I'll go all the way. I'll be your blockade down at Pilate's judgment hall. I'll see him when they strip him of his robe. I see him come and put a reed in his hand. A man that knowed how to handle a thorn. They had plaited them together and fixed them like a crown. With some instrument, as they placed them upon his brow, it wouldn't have hurt too much, Brother Bill, if they'd just placed it up there. But that man took some kind of instrument, and he probed it down and drove all the thorns into his precious brow and into his head. Maybe you don't know nothing about a thorn piercing your fingers. I've got a place on the end of my fingers here now where that it was pierced by a thorn. The other day, fixing some fence, and they always taught me to get locust posts, made good posts, and locusts got thorn on them. And when I got a hold of one, it went right on through my glove, then stopped till it went into the flesh. I flinched and jerked from it. Jerked the glove off the ceiling, and jerking the glove, I pulled it out. It hurt. It went through my body. The pain. But oh, I'm looking at the roadblock on the road to hell with them piercing in the ground. Down behind his ears, around behind his head, going in. What far, Brother Ely, that you could have a crown of life? They didn't stop there. There's a feller knowed how to use the cat of nine tails. That whip that had nine lashes with bone and steel in it, and as he brought it down and it hit the flesh, you know how to jerk it. It had to be done because the prophet prophesied and said there'll fly out furs upon his back. Oh. As I said a while ago, for the healing, for your healing. Is that all, Brother Ely, that he is just a blockade, that you could be healed, that you could wear a crown of life? No, my sister, no, my brother. He went farther than that. Can you see when Pilate walked out and said, I give it to you. Let his blood be upon you and your children. I'll not take the cause of them. But they've taken him out and they cried, crucify him! Crucify him! Do away with him! But it was God's plan. It was God's plan for this to be done. Why? That you wouldn't die in your sin. When we was noted dogs, not knowing that their right hand from the Lord. God said, I'll make a way for us. Do you know that Jesus didn't come to this world to save the Gentiles? He didn't come to save ignorant Gentiles, but he come unto his own. And his own received him not. But then he cried out and said, many to receive him. He gave them power to become the sons of God. And I become a son of God because I accepted him. Because you accepted it. My friend tonight, God loves you. Till he don't want you to go to hell. God could have looked over at Gabriel and said, now Gabriel, I want you to be the sacrifice. And I want you to be the roadblock. He could have looked over at one of the other angels and sent them. But no, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. My boys don't have to go to hell. If they go over mine and Sister Ely's prayers in life, they just go on their own. You that care tonight, you don't have to go to hell. But if you go to hell, you'll go over the blood of Jesus Christ. If you go to hell, you'll go over the prayers of the church. If you go to hell, you'll go over the prayers of a dear old mama. The majority. There'll no praying, Dad. And Dad, if you go to hell, it might be that little daughter. that prayed and cried, that son that you cried a hold from going to church and living for God, you will have to go with their prayer. But the greatest thing of all, you'll have to go over God's son. His loving son. His darling son. All that he had. He made a roadblock on the road that he opened. All that he had. The sweetest, the dearest. Sister Collins, you've just got one boy, ain't you? Brother Collins, wouldn't it be hard for you to give that one boy for any kind of a sacrifice? For any kind of sacrifice. I've got three boys, and my other boys are married with, but my baby boy is still home. My daughter's married. I've got one child home. But for one of them, I'd do anything to save them. There ain't been but a few months back till my number two boy worked. On Thursday evening was the last that he was heard of, around about 8 o'clock. He is the boss of the railroad, a farmer, the crew. Nobody could hear nothing no more than when he got through with filling out the paperwork and turning in that he lay up. We hunted. We searched. I spent around $300 in gas besides fines. I'm a driving on driver's license tonight under parole, because in Kentucky we have points and they caught me till my points run out. Why? My boy was gone. Nobody could hear where he was at. In a fast car. We felt that he got with the wrong crowd and somebody knocked him in the head and pushed him out. He is driving back and home, back and forth home to his family. And $300 worth of gas, why, I'd spent $3,000 if he took it, and more if I had it. Because my boy was gone, and we didn't know where he was at. We hunted from that time he was hunted for up till on Tuesday night, and when he was found, was in Lexington Hospital in intensive care. They found him in a car wreck. The law thought the hospital would notify the family, and the hospital thought the law would, and there we didn't know where he's at. We was about going crazy, but it was my boy. Other people would have looked and said, why, that didn't mean nothing to them, but it meant much to me. That was my boy. Me and Sister Ely on that Tuesday night after we had hunted and hunted, couldn't get no report, we was coming back home. And she looked over and she cried, and the tears run down her cheeks. And she said, God, that this can't happen to us. That God can't let this happen to us. I said, honey, don't question God. Don't put God on the spot. Ever how it is, that's the way it is. Don't question God about it. But that was her son. She couldn't understand how she could pray and fast and cry and seek God and something could happen to her boy. But it's happening all the ways up and down the road, across the country. Mother's boy. Listen, my boy heard me preach. My boy went to church with me. My boy stood with me. My boy sung on the pulpit with me. But still, he was gone and he was lost. And we know he was in sin. Our hearts were troubled. Our hearts were broken. But now we're looking at God's son, the only begotten. And he's saying, I'm going to make a roadblock out of him. I'm going to put him out there for that flower. I'm going to put him out there to stop that whoremonger. I'm going to stop that harlot. I'm going to stop that drunkard. I'm going to stop that man that just feels he's so good that he don't have to pray. I'm going to stop it. I've got a roadblock for it. It's my son. And I see him load him with the cross. Was that all? No, Brother Healy. That's not all. They get him up to Golgotha's brow, the heel of the skull. And somebody said they made him lay down on the cross. No, they didn't. The word of the Lord said, and he gave his life. He gave his life. I think he went over my brother, Taylor, and he just took and put his feet on the footboard. And he stretched his hands and laid that head with them thorns piercing it right back against it and stretched his hands to the point of the cross. I don't believe he flinched from it, Brother Grover, when that man that knowed where to put the spike and come down to hear the cell. As it tore through the flesh, God no block. And that's not all. After all, I can hear them as they said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And he cried out and he said, and if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. I'll be God's roadblock. Drunkard, did you want to quit being a drunkard? If dope getting a hold of you and you're hooked on it, did you want to get off of it? If you've got a habit of being one that just lies and make a lie out of anything, did you want to get stopped? If you're a man or woman that's breaking the commandments of God and doing things that say, well, I just do it to please my husband, or I just do it to please my wife, I do it to please my girlfriend, my boyfriend, I just do it to please somebody, you better stop and please God. Sure he is. I hear a sound, brother, and I look around, and I see my Jesus hanging on the cross, the blood dripping down from his hands, running down over his tender brow. And in a little while, his lips begin to part and dry. God flowed back. For you, Mama, if it hadn't been nobody, brother, but you, he had done every bit of it for you. If there hadn't been nobody but Brother Ely, he had went all the way for it. I believe he would. But here it is. I see him hanging there. And as his lips cried and the blood dried upon his face, he cried for water. Will you just give me a drink of water? Seems that I can hear him say, cool water. Give me a cold drink of water from Jacob's well. Give me a cold drink of water from the wells of the creek. But they brought him gall and vinegar. God rode back. Stopped an old boy like me that was crumping the mercies of God. That crumping the prayers of a praying mom and daddy. Praying took down, but after a while I got up to it. I knew it was time to surrender. If the old preacher preached and the toes of his shoes cut off and lost some of his toes because of sugar, he preached and reached out his hands and told people how evil I was and how low down and how sorry I was. But I taught Barney Williams that you would shut your mouth and quit preaching and make your altar call. I'll get out of here and I won't trouble you no more. But as I started to leave and as I got to the aisle, something come down over me and I found myself in an altar. I'd run into the roadblock. The roadblock. I was on the road to hell. A drunkard doing many things that I can't name. A sin. But when I come up to Jesus, I found it the first night. I didn't give it all to him. The second night, The third night I said, Lord, when the sun comes up in the morning, if I'm not saved, I'll be in this altar. I'll be crying out to you. But when I said that, I didn't have to wait till in the morning. Joy come down. Heaven fill my soul. And I've made a new creature. Then I heard Jesus. After they did it all and then did the thing, he raised his head to God. And he cried and he said, my God, Father, my God, why have thou forsaken me? I've gone all the way for you, Father. I'm going as far as I can go. Why have thou forsaken me? And then just in a little while, he knew the roadblock was fixed firm and sturdy. And he cried, Father, 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 it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the God's roadblock on the road to hell. Though you the vilest sinner, you could be saved. Though it was the worst murder, he could be saved. Though it's that woman that threw her life away and her name's rich, she can be saved. Though it's that daughter that takes in lover's lane and mother never knows it, you can be saved. Your sins can be forgiven. Though you went in the way of sin and nobody has never, it's never brought a reproach on you, my friend, you could be saved. You can go on with sin in your heart and be lost. I left the story of my fear to come back to it now. And then we're going to pray. My mother, when she heard this, her heart got hard. Mother wrote this and said, though the boy was going to marry and they've got a fine home and a fine family and everything's nice. But Mama wrote this and said, don't you never bring him home. And she got hardness in her heart, Brother Collins, tells kid right this and says, I hope the baby dies and never lives. Oh, you could name my baby sister, Mom, and you'd see a frown come on her face. You could see a pain come on her. And she'd talk back to you, faithful. And I went across the country evangelizing Brother Lloyd. And I'd ask preachers, what can I do? I'd say, and I know Mama is on the wrong trail. Mama had the wrong thing in her heart. It don't have to show up out to the public as long as it shows up to God. Mama may smile in the public, and she may went to church and took her pew, but Mama was lost. She didn't admit it, but if Mama would have died, then me she'd been lost. She had hardness in her heart. She had hatred. When a grandmother gets so much hatred that she hopes her grandchild born dead and never lives, she's on the wrong road. Preachers would give me scriptures, brothers would, and I'd take it back home. And I'd say, Mama, I want you to read this, and I want you to read that. And she'd look at me and she said, I'll read it, but it ain't going to help. I didn't want to see a mama that I'd seen prayed and speaking other tongues and rub the eyes and shout and cry and meet the church and see her carry her other babies in her body and one in her arm and go to church.